Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast with your usual host, myself, Hayden Gullis, and of course, the amazing James Coker, who, as always, joins me on these podcasts today talking everything Formula One. We didn't expect to have a lot of news coming into today, but nonetheless, the F1 gods, they have provided, and we have got some big news. Let's start it off with Monaco. They've extended their place on the calendar till 2031. As well as this, they've also moved the date a little bit later in the year, in order not to clash with the Indy 500 and also make a kind of triple crown back-to-back schedule where we'll have Indy 500, Monaco, and the 24-hour of Le Mans all back-to-back with each other and no longer clashing on the same weekend because, you know, before we've always had Monaco and Indy 500 on the same weekend, which potentially could open the door for drivers to take part in multiple of these events across the season, just like Fernando Alonso did once upon a time, taking part in the Indy 500 at Monaco. This is good news, I feel like. A step in the right direction.
I agree. But first of all, to quote Miranda Priestly from the movie The Devil Wears Prada, an F1 Grand Prix in Monaco? Groundbreaking. I mean, it comes to no surprise that they decided to extend Monaco to 2031. Monaco's never not going to be on the calendar. It will always be there. I do believe they pay a slightly higher fee than they used to, but they still pay a heavily discounted fee to Formula One to host the Grand Prix, as does Monza, which is expected because they're both legacy tracks that fans have incredible affinity for, drivers have affinity for. So not a big surprise that Monaco was extended. I'm very excited that it was moved and is no longer clashing with the Indy 500. Yeah. I agree 100%. And I don't know whether they've had this conversation yet, but if we were to be able to see an active Formula One driver, let's say Max Verstappen, who is currently competing in F1, also trying to win the Indy 500 and drive in the 24-hour of Le Mans in the same year.
That would be incredible.
It would be incredible. It would create the kind of buzz that we see in the Triple Crown in horse racing. Like, you in America, you see a horse win the Preakness, then they go for the Derby, then they go for the Belmont Stakes. To see a driver in his prime actively participating in all three of those series in one, not just 1 year, 1 month, would be so incredibly exciting.
Yeah, certainly so. I'd love it for it to be Max, because I think Max would be the best shot for it to happen in one season. But I just feel like he doesn't want to do Indy 500 and doesn't want to do oval racing. GT and racing in the 24-hour of Le Mans, 100% I can see that. And I can see that as something he definitely does in the future. But not that. But someone who I think could at least compete in all three of them in the same season, Fernando Alonso, I'm sure that this man is going to be licking his lips. 2026, is Aston Martin going to be up there with Adrian Newey? Of course, this change I haven't mentioned yet is from 2026 onwards, so it's not going to be next season. Next season, I think Monaco is set to clash with the Indy 500, but from 2026 onwards. Alonso's getting a little bit older, but he's taken part in Le Mans before and has won it. He's taken part in Indy 500, had a great rookie event, and unfortunately the car failed on him. The second time around, didn't even make the grid. He got bumped out of that one. But if there was a driver that I could see do all three of them and have the eagerness to do all three of them, it would be Fernando Alonso, I think.
Yeah, I could see that. But I, sorry, Kentucky Derby goes first, then Preakness, then Belmont. Yeah, I agree with you. Right now, in its current form, Fernando Alonso is most primed to achieve the Triple Crown. I don't know if he wants to do it again. He probably does.
I think he does.
But if you are able to participate all in 1 year, and let's say Max doesn't actually have to go to IndyCar to compete in the 500, or doesn't have to like be a full-time WEC driver to compete in the 24-hour of Le Mans, I could see Max doing it.
Yeah.
Before Alonso wins the 500.
Max is a funny one because he's always going on about, doesn't care about legacy or doesn't care about statistics and all this and that. But I think he loves winning. I think as any racing driver, any competitor, they love winning. And I think not only to be one of those drivers to win the Triple Crown, I think the only other one to do it is Graham Hill, I believe is the only other one to win the Triple Crown. Not only to do that, but to be a driver who does it all in one season would put you as the greatest driver ever. I don't think anyone could ever... That would put you a GOAT category. GOAT is the greatest of all time. And I know everyone has multiple GOATs, and it's just like, oh, that person's also a GOAT, and they're a GOAT. No. If it was, some people have a GOAT farm. If it was to be one, and he would do all of that in one season, there wouldn't be any argument of who is the greatest of all time if he were to do that.
I would also love to see a little cross-pollinating. I would love to see it go both ways. Like, I don't just want to see Formula One drivers going to compete in the Indy 500 or driving in the 24-hour of Le Mans. I would like to see WEC drivers and IndyCar drivers get an opportunity to make an entry in the Monaco Grand Prix, especially with the 2026 regulations if the cars start getting smaller. I would love to add two slots to the Monaco Grand Prix, just like two wild card slots, and somebody like Kyle Larson or Pato O'Ward or Joseph Newgarden or Alex Palou, or if you go to WEC, Sebastian Buemi, Kevin Estre, like Andre Lotterer. Give drivers who have been accomplished in WEC and or IndyCar an opportunity to drive in the Monaco Grand Prix. Be so fun.
Yeah, like Tony Stark did back in the day.
100%. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
And Brad Pitt has probably done in this film. Get him in there too.
For sure.
No, I think it'll be really cool. And also, you know, Carl Larson has called out and said he would beat Max Verstappen if he did a couple of laps. So, you know, put your money where your mouth is. Let's have a go. Let's give it. Let's give it some. So it'd be interesting. I posed this question to you and you completely shut it down, but I'm going to pose it on this podcast now and people can also shut me down. But it's interesting, I feel like, how Monaco's been the one to move, as throughout the history of motorsport, Formula One's always been very stubborn. No, we don't move for anything. You move around our calendar. We are the pinnacle of motorsport. You move around for us. I think because Monaco has become more boring in recent races, and I don't believe that's down to the track. I believe that's down to the cars. I keep on banging on about the cars are too big for this circuit. They need to be made smaller in general for all circuits, but particularly for Monaco. And you get exciting Monaco again. But I think because Monaco has become a bit more of a dull affair, and this season was one of the dullest races, whilst it was tense and whilst we were hoping for a Leclerc win, it was still a dull race where nothing happened. More people have then started to tune into Indy. That's what I did. I mean, that's what I did last season, a couple of seasons ago. I started to get into the Indy 500 and be like, okay, let's give this a go and go for some actual racing. And it was so much better. That I think that Monaco has seen that and be like, okay, actually, no, we don't want to clash on the same weekend as Indy anymore because we're losing viewership now.
It also falls on Memorial Day weekend in the United States. I know the United States is such a big, important market for Formula One. As much as OG Formula One fans hate to admit it, a lot of the priority is not just growth in the United States, but also maintaining the fans they currently have. Mm-hmm. So I understand the mood. It makes a lot of sense. Also, one of the reasons that I wanted to bring up the fact that the Indy 500 is so beloved in the motorsport world is a great example of this is last year's press conference following the Monaco Grand Prix, where our podium was Max Verstappen, Fernando Alonso, and Esteban Ocon. And you had them answering questions. I think Esteban Ocon was fielding questions from reporters. And Fernando Alonso and Max Verstappen were both like, come on, let's get out of here. And we're like, what's going on? Why do we want to get out of here? And they're like, Indy 500 is about to start. We want to watch it.
Yeah.
And Esteban Ocon was trying to like soak up this moment. He, you know, in his career, he really hasn't been on the podium that many times and was really trying to soak in the moment. And they're like, we've been here before. We don't care about this press conference. Like, we want to get out of here and watch the race. And I think that moment goes to show you how many people in racing, not just fans, but also drivers and people who work in motorsport, how much people love the Indy 500.
Yeah. And last year was certainly one you didn't want to miss because it was a great, great
absolute
race.
Banger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Hopefully more like that.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
From a meeting at the office to a big first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every event. But clothes don't make the man. So why stuff your closet with things that only work for some situations? With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting. Their clothing is understated and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They craft each piece by combining timeless style and modern performance materials, so you can stay looking good and feeling comfortable from morning to evening. No wardrobe changes required. Browse everything from summer-ready tech linen shorts and anti-odor polos to tailored sweats and crews for a night in. They can outfit you for anything, no matter what's on your agenda for the day. Go to MacWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MAC25.
So, next piece of news that we've got that's come out in the last couple of days, something that we have alluded to, and it was speculated, but now it is fully 100% confirmed. F1 75 Live. It's going to be at the O2, it's going to be in February, and it's going to be all of the 10 teams announcing their new cars and liveries in one event. So no more of this boring, you know, Haas will just launch a graphic on their Twitter and we'll be like, is that it? No more Red Bull waffling for an hour before launching a car. All right, we're finally going to get an actual show. I'm excited for it. It could be an absolute disaster. Don't get me wrong. And it could be done way over the top and completely miss the mark. But I am glad that they are doing something new to make this exciting because whilst it is exciting getting into F1 car launch season, and it is good having them on different days and spread out over a few days and a few weeks for that content that you've been missing out on for so long. Some of them are so badly done. And I think now is a push in the right direction to not only mean that they are, it's a show and there's actual thought and effort that has gone into it, but also hopefully the liveries are going to be absolute bangers because, you know, it's going to be one event, all the teams trying to outdo each other. All the teams trying to win the prize. Let's get a prize in. Let's get a fan vote for the fans that are there. Or something like that, where it's like, which is the best livery on the night? And there's a podium ceremony of who has done the best livery of the season. Like, let's make it into a big event and make these teams give us something that is spectacular on the cars.
Instead of driver of the day, give me
livery of the day.
I love this idea so much. Inject this event into my veins. Mm-hmm. Like one big, centralized, consolidated fan event to launch the season. All the cars at all the teams in one place. Well produced. Mm-hmm. Like, Bring in the noise, bring in the funk, bring up the hype. This idea is such a good idea. If it wasn't for certain financial restrictions, I would be buying tickets immediately and booking flights to London in February. Like, this idea is so good. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yes, we're currently filming this on Thursday night. There has been a pre-sale that's already gone out for Amex card users. But there is,
as of recording right now, the general sale goes on in like 15 hours from now.
Yeah, so it'll be tomorrow morning. I'm going to be up tomorrow morning in that queue trying to see if I can get some. Because prices, in all fairness, I thought they would be a lot more expensive. I believe the pricing is from around £58 to £118. And for an F1 event, look, it's an F1 event. It's a once a year event as well, something that I thought that they could absolutely sell to the highest of audiences. And I think it's a pretty reasonable price for something like that. So I was
impressed. Tickets were priced at like $50.
Yeah, 50 is the cheapest one. Euros. The most expensive being 100. And I'm surprised by it. So yeah, I'm going to be tomorrow morning waiting in that queue, trying to see what I can get. And even if I don't get a ticket though, I'm still going to be looking to go to the O2 for the event. Because as we spoke about before, I feel like it's just going to be a cool event to be with other Formula One fans. I feel that there's going to be some other sort of events that are on outside of the O2 or within the O2 building, but of course not just the stage and the main event. There'll be other stuff going on around the venue. Fingers crossed, hopefully it's like that. And it'll be just a cool event to attend, regardless of whether you have a ticket to go inside and watch the show live. I think it's still something if you are in the London area or you are in the UK and it's something you want to get down to, go along. Yeah. Go meet other Formula One fans and interact with other fans. I think it'll be a cool experience.
It's like the Victoria's Secret fashion show for nerds.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
You know, it's got a big catwalk. It's got a big runway. We're going to
Could you imagine if we do
out.
Actually have a catwalk where, you know, you've got Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton walking down in their new race suits?
If you look at the renderings, it does look like a catwalk in the middle.
Yeah. Oh my God, please. That'd be hilarious.
So the cars and the drivers, they're going to be giving. They're going to be serving. Mm. It's going to be amazing.
Now, once this has been launched, teams are going to be looking to snap up Zhou Guan Yu as their reserve driver or full-time driver at RB if it's still available, to just get him, you know, he knows how to strut his stuff down that catwalk. He's a fashionable guy.
Also, I agree, super fashionable. They're gonna need him for an event like this. He's a dead ring. He's a dead ringer for a fashion show. But also, what I love about this F175 event, it's like one big F1 fan con. Yep. Where F1 fans from all around the world can congregate into one place and celebrate just the culture of Formula One and motorsport that isn't revolved around a race. So I am so excited to see what kind of costumes people are going to bring. Like, are people going to be dressing up as their favorite liveries of all time? Are people going to be dressing up as the Red Five? Are people going to be cosplaying as Nigel Mansell, like with big bush broom mustaches?
I'm working on it at the moment. Just need to get the Brummy accent sorted. Nigel Mansell.
Like, are people going to be cosplaying as Bernie Ecclestone? Like, I want to know how
Bernie
people Eccleston are going to be attending
or Edna
event.
From The Incredibles. Which one? Just to, some people might get confused by that. Is Dame Judi Dench in the building ready to be Bernie Ecclestone, as we have spoken about before?
Possibly. I don't
Hopefully.
Know.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited for it. Next bit of news that's come in, CEO of Liberty Media has stepped down, James.
You know, there's speculation of like why this is, but I don't want to get into it. not my place to say. But, you know, maybe it was just like this person's moving on. They want some new blood. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Liberty Media have been sort of expanding. They've recently got into MotoGP as well. So the company has definitely been growing, not just taking over Formula One.
Yeah.
Formula One, I feel like, potentially as well, has gone through a bit of a stage. I think a lot of entertainment industries have gone through, since COVID, a bit of a downhill, mainly because not as many people are at home anymore like they were during COVID season. But also, right. F1 itself has gone into a bit of a lull through the 22-23 season. 23 was probably one of the more boring seasons, unless you were a Max Verstappen fan and a Red Bull fan. Nothing really was going on track. It was Max winning all the races, pretty much, which is an incredible achievement, not taking that away. But still, in terms of a spectacle and an entertainment front, it was more of the dull seasons. This season has been an absolute banger, but we don't have a championship battle. Although they're trying to push it now still. It's over. The championship is over. Yeah. And I personally do hope that Max is crowned in Vegas, because what a party that would be. But maybe it's because of, you know, it being on the downhill, Formula One just going down a little bit, which there's reasons for it that this has happened.
Yeah, I know the press statements said that Maffei is going to stay on as a senior advisor to help smooth the management transition. So it's very possible he's been there for a while. He was at Liberty Media for almost 20 years. It just, you know, maybe he's just moving on to do something else. And also, I know Greg Maffei like has his finger in a lot of other different pies, and maybe he's just choosing to focus on other endeavors.
Yeah, potentially another high role in Formula One that has been allegedly fired is the race director. I'm going to absolutely butcher this name, but this is Niels Wittich, and we're going to go for probably completely wrong.
Yeah, sure.
But that's what we're going to go with. They've been fired. Originally, it was said that they've mutually agreed that they would step down, but then he sort of come out and be like, I didn't agree this. So that kind of gives the direction that he's been fired. And we talked about this before around Brazil, that whilst potentially it hasn't been match fixing or fixing it as a race director to benefit a Lando Norris comeback in the championship, it was always open to that instigation that is what is going on. You know, the virtual safety car being taking a while to come out, but literally came out as soon as they switched the positions for the two McLaren guys, which we knew that they were planning to do anyway between Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris. So that was a little bit fishy. You know, the red flag being delayed for all the other drivers to cross the line. As I said for the Brazil review, it wouldn't have made the difference if the red flag came out straight away. Charles Leclerc crossed the line as soon as the yellow flag came out. So it could have been touch and go with Charles Leclerc, but I think he just about got his time in before the red flag or the yellow flag came out, which we would have said should have been a red straight away. And therefore, Max would have been P11 and would have been out of that qualifying session regardless. But there have been fishy ongoings. I think that's the safest thing. Not to the point that you're like, no, that's definitely blatantly wrong, like we saw in Abu Dhabi with Michael Massey. You know, the rules weren't followed for that race. But still, doesn't sit right. You know, that doesn't taste right with me right now. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess my question for you is, do you think this is solely because of the, for lack of a better term, the clusterfuck that happened at Brazil? Or do you think Brazil was the straw that broke the camel's back?
I think straw that broke the camel's back. We've seen it a lot of the time. I think the biggest issue that we've always had as F1 fans recently is when we know something should be a virtual safety car, normal safety car. You know, I think if there is a big enough crash, throw the virtual straight away, and then it can always be upgraded to a full safety car. A virtual safety car gives that indication to the whole track, something's happened. Drive, keep to this delta. Don't try and push your luck anywhere. Keep to this delta, and you will come across something. Be prepared to stop if you see something that you need to stop for. If there are then people or there needs to be a vehicle out on track, then a full safety car needs to be shown. And if it is, you know, barriers need to be repaired or whatever, or, you know, it will be a danger if there is a truck on track, say it's in wet weather conditions and there needs to be a tractor on track to remove a car, then throw the red flag, you know. I think it's taken far too long for a lot of decisions where us as fans have been screaming, being like, why is it not this, come on, and then a lap later that is finally thrown and then we're like, wow, that's taken far too long. So I think it's over the season it's not been right, and this was the straw, as you say, that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, for sure.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
All right, moving on. Next up, Aston Martin's technical director is stepping down. Do you think this is just part of a shuffle given that Adrian Newey is coming in and maybe sort of taking charge about how things done, and maybe it's a butting of heads, or do you think it has anything to do with Aston Martin's poor performance this season?
Could be a bit both. I mean, with Adrian Newey coming in, he's a big figure and he's going to be, you know, t- taking control, going to be taking the full hands on the steering wheel of that Aston Martin ship. But then also, they haven't been performing well. And their downfall has got me thinking, and it's also Red Bull has got me thinking, that performing well in the championship may not always be to your advantage. Now, bear with me on this, because that might sound absolutely ludicrous. But let's take Red Bull, for example. Red Bull are a marketing team. They're all about marketing. They're all about, you know, showing off that, you know, trying to get as many people to buy their products as possible. What are most eyes on? They're on the Drivers' Championship. No one really cares about the Constructors unless you are Italian and you're a Ferrari fan. Less people care about the Constructors, more people can care about the drivers. So therefore, from a marketing, from a branding perspective, to go for the Drivers' Championship is the main one that Red Bull want to go for. Now, with Checo, and there's always this argument about the seat, and it's kind of got me to the point that I believe that he is staying, and I completely understand why he is staying now, and I think it is a good decision from Red Bull Racing. Oh, but Hayden, they're going to be third in this championship. That's stupid. No, but that's smart. Because if they finish third in the championship, they get more wind tunnel time. They get more time to develop their car and give a car for Max Verstappen to win the championship. Oh, but they'll lose loads of money in the Constructors' Championship. Sergio Perez has a lot of sponsors. He's working with KitKat for one of them. You know, he's working with a lot of sponsors that will bring in
he's
money.
He's working with the official chocolate bar of Formula
exactly, One. Exactly. He is the chocolate bar of Formula One. Like, he is delicious for this Red Bull team, because they're licking their lips at the advantage that they're going to have in terms of growing their car over the future seasons. But, like, for me, that makes sense. But they hinder themselves in terms of having one driver score less points and let their other driver go for the championship. They get more time in the wind tunnel. They get an offset. And with the cost cap now, those teams who were at the top, your Ferraris, your Mercedes, your Red Bulls, that were spending millions on trying to win championships, and now have a lot of money that they don't spend anymore because of the cost cap. So therefore, they don't need to worry about the money. They don't care if they win so much money from the constructors, because they're not spending as much money as they used to before. And I think the same goes for Aston Martin. Yes, okay, this season the car has been terrible, but their focus is on 2026. They don't really care right now, behind the scenes, to be like, okay, cool, we're struggling at the moment. We're just keeping afloat in terms of our scoring positions. But we've got Adrian Newey coming in. We're going to have a poor season in 2025, and then that will give him the most amount of time to develop a car for 2026, and we will be back up at the top. So I think that is potentially why they haven't had a good season. And yeah, I mean, the technical director stepping down, more suited, I think, towards Adrian Newey coming in. Because I don't think the poor performance is something that Aston Martin are really worried about at the moment.
Interesting. Okay. Moving on, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is making plans to crown Max Verstappen with the World Drivers' Championship in Las Vegas. Do you feel like this is a little presumptuous, or do you feel like they just need a contingency plan?
Oh, it should be there. They should definitely have it in case it happens. You should always. It's like when Max won the championship in 21, they all had Verstappen shirts, so like Verstappen World Champion. You just know Mercedes somewhere in a warehouse, there are a load of Mercedes shirts that are Lewis Hamilton 8-time World Champion. You just know that they are somewhere, or got burnt, or what. I don't know what would have happened to him afterwards.
Do you know what happens with a lot of that gear? Like, for instance, like at Super Bowls, when team loses, but they still have the gear that they were going to give the team, like the Buffalo Bills Super Bowl champions. Buffalo Bills famously went to like 4 straight Super Bowls in the 90s and lost all of them. And somewhere there's Buffalo Bills Super Bowl champion gear somewhere. What often happens is they donate that to like developing countries.
Yeah.
And so you'll see people walking around in like some rural part of a developing country wearing like,
it says Lewis Hamilton 8-time world champion.
Yeah. That guy. Like Lewis Hamilton 8-time world champion, or it says like Buffalo Bills Super Bowl champion or something like that.
Yeah. You're just like, that guy really, really disagrees with 2021 that he went out and made his own t-shirt. I mean, it's a good thing that they've obviously made those plans for it, and for me, I hope that he wins it, because Las Vegas, I've said before, I'd like Brazil to be the season finale, because it's a great race and it's unpredictable if there's a championship battle. However, the party atmosphere in Vegas would be absolutely incredible. And I think Max only has to finish ahead of Lando, guarantees in the championship. Lando has to outscore Max by 3 points, I believe it is, to carry it on to Qatar. So there is a likely chance that Max Verstappen will win the championship in Vegas. And I think it's a good thing that they are preparing for that. And I really hope to see the parties that unfold there, because it's going to be amazing. And it should be the season finale. Like, to end the season, all the drivers, all the teams, they go out, they go party in Vegas. That's how it should end.
Hell yeah. That'd be fun. That'd be a good way to kick off. So you think he's going to clinch it in Vegas?
I think so. I think so. I think it's almost done. It might be able to go on, because 3 points, outscoring by 3 points, I mean, that McLaren is good. Ferrari is expected to be better in Vegas and be the better car. But then it could be, you know, the Ferraris up there, then McLarens are the second best team, and then Red Bull are third, and Max finishes behind Lando, and he does outscore him by 3 points. So it does go to Qatar. I just hope that it doesn't. I want it to be over now and not be dragged out anymore. I wanted it before, but now it needs a miracle. Unless that miracle happens in Vegas, then it might whet my appetite again to be like, oh, hang on, we might still have this chance. But I feel like it's dead
and done. I was hoping that both Constructors and Drivers Championship would come down to the season finale in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
But, just looks like it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it'd be very, very unlikely.
I wonder if there's a part of Lando Norris that just wants Verstappen to win it so people stop asking him the same questions over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a weird season, because usually the hunter doesn't get that much pressure. It's the hunted that is getting the pressure on them, because they've been closed down. But I don't feel like there's been that much pressure on Verstappen. Obviously, questions have been asked, and it's been speculated, always coming for you. But it's also been helpful that the car's got worse in terms of Red Bull. So it's kind of been an easy way to deviate the attention onto the car's work, because Max has still been pulling out great performances. But I feel like there's been a lot of backlash on Lando Norris this season. A lot of anger towards him, a lot of hate. And I do believe it's down to sometimes to some of the things that he says. It doesn't help him. I think Lando is a great guy, and I do hope that he has a lot of success in Formula One. But I fully understand why he ruffles up people's feathers, because some of the stuff that he says, it just doesn't hit right, if that makes sense.
I think the way Lando Norris is being treated right now in the media has to do with the British bias that exists in Formula One. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a British bias where we are more favorable of British drivers. It's that we put British drivers more in the spotlight than any other driver. So, like, not only when they do well are you going to get your flowers and be lauded and congratulated and be given credit, but when you mess up, you're going to be criticized tenfold compared to the other drivers on the grid that aren't British. And I think Lando Norris is feeling that, because when he does well, he gets, you know, he gets a lot of great press. And when he makes a mistake, like, it is highlighted and magnified to the nth degree. And I think in a way the media is being really unfair to Lando Norris, because if you pull out on a macro level, Lando Norris should be so proud of the season he's had this year. First race win, which jumps then to multiple race wins. Currently in the fight for the constructors' title. He has had his best season in Formula One ever, and he's only 24 years old. Max Verstappen was 24 years old when he won his first championship. So, okay, let's say Lando doesn't really compete for the World Drivers' Champion until next season. He's 1 year behind where Max Verstappen was.
Yeah.
So I just think it's really unfair the way he's being treated. And I hope that at least internally within his circle and within himself, he is very happy with what he's accomplished this season, because you look at him now compared to where McLaren was at the beginning of the 2023 season, leaps and bounds better than where they were. And they should be so proud of where they are right now.
Yeah. And I think they've got a great opportunity next year to go for it. I really do. I think you're going to have the two McLarens versus the two Ferraris versus Max Verstappen for next season's championship. And who knows, maybe Mercedes can pull something out of the bag. You're going to have Kimi Antonelli and George Russell also having a bit of a sniff as well. But I think definitely we're looking at speculating a five-way fight, and he's going to be at the forefront of it. You know, it's so much better when you're off to a good start. And yes, he has had the better car for the majority of this second half of the season. But I think there's also been other drivers within that fight for the with
the best car. Like, it's not been miles clear that Max had in 2023. It's been sometimes Ferrari's up there, sometimes Red Bull's up there, and yeah, I think you're fully right. Like, it's not been so easy pickings as everyone seems to speculate it is, that Max Lando's had the best car, he should have won this championship. It's not as simple as that.
And I think what we often see in media, this is not exclusive to motorsport media, but this applies to all sports media, is journalists and media publications love to craft narratives regardless of whether the narrative is there. And so what we see often is journalists asking questions to try to create a narrative that isn't there. It's like, it's gaslighting almost. And I wish things weren't being framed so much as Lando Norris isn't cut up to be a World Drivers' Championship, yep, when it really should be. Lando Norris is having the best F1 season ever in his career and is making a push for the Drivers' Championship. And maybe next year he's going to be able to finally surpass Max Verstappen.
Yeah, fully agree. And hopefully next year we have that battle. We have got some kind of rule changes to talk about for 2026. There's been an announcement in the last couple of days as well. Rookie sprint races. So we were supposed to maybe get them at the end of this season, because it was an idea that a few of the teams in the sport were wanting to push. But because of getting it ready in time, it got denied for this young rookies test. So then we thought maybe for 2025 we were going to get the rookie sprint race, but they have now decided that instead it's going to be pushed back to 2026, and the plans will be going ahead for that. So hopefully then that means it's not pushed back further, and because it's now 2026, they can get that green light and go full on it and make sure that everything is ready. But I'm glad that it is something that's happening, because it adds something to that end of the season test and gives a spotlight to those junior drivers and Fernando Alonso, who will take part in that. We've also got new rules for closing up the grid when drivers cannot make the start. So we had a bit of a shambles in Brazil, because we had qualifying on the same day as the race. Therefore, there was a few drivers starting from the pit lane. We also had Lance Stroll, who wanted to go for an adventure in the gravel, to put it bluntly. And what that did was leave little gaps on the grid. So, for example, say, I can't remember where Albon qualified. I think it was like P9 or P10. P7, was it?
Albon qualified. 7 and 10 were empty.
Okay, so yes, so 7 and 10 were empty on the grid because those cars were either starting from the pit lane or they didn't make it in Albon's case. Now, with these rules, instead of having 7 and 10 empty, which is very easy for a driver just to drive and fill that gap and then realize last minute, oh no, I'm in the wrong spot. Instead, driver who was in 8th will move into 7th place, 9th will move to 8th, and so on and so forth. So hopefully making it easier. I do worry that drivers then might get confused if someone drops out on the formation lap in a Stroll case, they start to line up on the left-hand side, not realizing that they should actually now go to the right-hand side and fill that gap of the driver ahead of him. So let's see how that plays out, but fingers crossed it goes easily and maybe takes away some confusion from everybody watching.
I mean, that makes sense. You should just be able to fill in the slots that are open, so you don't have that. I think it's just second nature for a driver to pull into the open grid in front of them.
And I mean, the drivers aren't going to complain, because now they're one step closer to the car in front of them, rather having a nice clean place to go into. They're alongside the driver who's in front of them now and might be able to beat them into turn one. So it's an advantage, of course, for those guys. Also, mandate driver calling when it's like a heat hazard, which has been declared. We've seen in Qatar last season, there was a lot of drivers getting exhausted, a lot of drivers way too hot in the cars. And
wasn't it Logan Sargeant? Logan had to retire
because of it. Multiple drivers were kind of passing out. And so they're going to be looking to introduce a driver cooling device. We've seen something similar come into IndyCar, for example, when they introduced the aero screen. Because the aero screen, no airflow was getting to the driver's head or to the driver at all. So instead, they invented a tube that comes off of the driver's helmet that will then suck in air and cool the driver. They then recently this season updated the cars to add a couple of vents on it. But that unfortunately took away the airflow, so then had to fix that. So IndyCar has introduced some sort of like cooling device to help with the drivers. So it'll be good for Formula One to do that. I don't want to necessarily make it so it's super easy for drivers, but we also shouldn't be having what Qatar is. Like, you wouldn't go and change a marathon and take off an extra mile off it just to make it easy because there's runners passing out. But right. We should also, you know, not get to a stage where that is. These drivers are athletes. They should be prepared for that. I think because of a lot of them prepared for Singapore, not realizing that Qatar was going to be a lot worse. Hopefully this year they have now prepared for Qatar in mind. Qatar is going to be cooler and we don't have something like that again. But this is a good thing to happen if something is getting way too hot in the car, because the last thing we want is drivers passing out driving these cars.
Agreed. I do want to go back and ask you a question about this rookie sprint race being pushed to 2026. Mm-hmm. Are they just going to continue to push it like forever? Is it going to be a running joke if they're going to keep pushing it? It's going to be 2040, yeah. And they're going to be like, yeah, we're actually going to push it to 2045.
The longest sprint race we've ever had. I hope not. I really hope not. I'm really hoping that there's just some sort of clash or something that is just not being prepared for, and that's why it can't happen in 2025, because something else was going on.
Because like you said, like Fernando Alonso needs the opportunity.
He does. He does
compete against other rookies.
Yeah, fully. And you know, he's still young, but give it a couple 20 years and he might not be in the sport anymore. So he's going to lose that chance.
Have you ever seen the movie, the Disney Channel movie, The Rookie, with not Disney Channel, but it's a Disney movie called The Rookie. It's with Dennis Quaid.
No, I don't think so.
It's about like a high school like baseball coach who's like in his like 30s or 40s who realizes he can still throw the baseball pretty hard. And yeah. So he goes to play in the majors.
Okay.
So 2002 film.
The story of Fernando Alonso, basically. There'll be a Rookie 2.
Pretty much.
A sequel, and it will be Fernando Alonso's biopic.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, we should like take the poster from The Rookie and put Fernando Alonso's face on it.
I like it. And then the final bit of news: Kit Kat, as we spoke about earlier, has become the official chocolate bar of Formula One.
Yeah, baby.
Does that mean that we're going to have sponsored breaks in the race now, where they have to take a break and take a Kit Kat halfway through the race?
That's a good question. But if they do not make posters that say, give me a break and spell it B-R-A-K-E,
yeah,
that marketing team has failed all of us.
Mm. Yeah. And also, like, if it sponsors the podium, it's just like one bar in the middle. And then for two, it's got two bars. And then for third, it's got three bars.
And you know what they also should do? Kit Kat should be the sponsor of all the braking zones on the track.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. Although... How would you make a zero? Or would they only show brake marker boards for 11 meters, 111 meters, 1111? That's all you're allowed to know.
We have like we have the DRS activation zone sponsored by Duracell and the braking zone sponsored by Kit Kat.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. And yeah. I mean, if they're not giving out free Kit Kats, then Formula One, I don't want to know anymore. And I'm going off to
and the
make chicane, Pokemon
and
content.
The chicane's brought to you by Nerds Ropes.
What other sponsors would you bring in? What other sponsor segments of Formula One?
Well, I mean, you got hairpin turns. You could have a hair product there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pit stops. New rubber, sponsored by Durex.
Like Pit Stop, sponsored by Dr. Squatch deodorant. You know, for your pits. I got to ask you, how do you eat a Kit Kat bar? This is not sponsored, by the way. We're talking about our love for...
weird for this, but I nibble at the chocolate on the edges.
I do that too!
Yes! Okay.
Okay, so I made a video a couple years ago being like, this is how you eat a Kit Kat. And I was like, if you eat it like this, you're a monster. And I like demonstrated just not even breaking it, just biting
eating
it.
Yeah, that's psychopath.
And I was like, then there's like the common way where you break that off piece by piece and eat it.
Yep.
But the right way, in my opinion, is you break off a piece and then you nibble the chocolate off on the sides.
Yep.
And then you kind of like nibble and lick it off the bottom and top.
Yep.
And then you have just the wafer.
Yep.
And then you break the wafers apart.
Yep, yep,
Yep. You break the wafers apart and you like lick the like whatever the stuff in the side, and then you just eat the dry wafer.
Yeah.
Well, now it's wet at this point because you licked it so many times. But that's and so that went viral when I posted it. Everyone's like, "Oh my god, I thought I was the only person who ate it that way." Apparently, Kourtney Kardashian also eats it that way, and she made a video about it a few years ago. And everyone's like, "You stole this idea from Kourtney Kardashian," and I'm like, "I've been eating a Kit Kat like this since I was two."
Do you know what is the most satisfying thing about eating a Kit Kat like that as well? When you have when you nibble the ends, and there's a big bit of chocolate section, like they've made a mistake, and it's like a larger piece of just pure chocolate on the end, rather than. You know, just like that little sliver that you have. Oh, when it's a big part, oh, that's when you know you've got a good one.
Before we go, I also want to let all of our listeners know that Hayden has a new side hustle on social media, not motorsport related, but it is Pokemon card related, right?
It is. We spoke on the last podcast about my dream collaboration between F1, and it was Pokemon sort of merch. I've recently started to do my own Pokemon content. I love trading cards, so I've dabbled into opening them and finding vending machines in obscure shopping malls to see what I can get, and it's a nice little side hustle that I've been enjoying over the last couple of days.
Yeah, Hayden Rips. So everyone make sure to follow Hayden Rips on it's both on TikTok and Instagram.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's fun that you bring that up because look what I just got in the mail.
What have you got?
Do you see what this is?
Oh, those are the cards you talked about last time. The Grid 1992.
These are the Grid 1992 cards.
What car is that on the side? Is that a Ferrari?
No.
Show it?
Maybe.
What is it?
Right.
Should I look at the sponsor? What's the sponsor on the side?
It says AGIP, Fiat, Pio. It's like a drawing, so it's like not very clear.
Where's the focus?
There.
Yeah, it's a Ferrari. Yeah, that is a Ferrari.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that might be John Lacey. Not too sure, though.
I'm excited to open these, but I also got Futura cards from 1995.
Yeah.
And I also got Pro Track cards from 91 that are on the way.
So maybe we need to do, a segment on here where we, whatever F1 cards, we just open one pack. We see what we get. See who gets the better pack.
We see what we get, and then we talk about the drivers that we pull.
That's a great segment. We've got motorsport winter to fill, so
that's true.
Can look forward to that content coming soon. And if you want to see that or listen to that sort of podcast, make sure you follow on whatever audio platform you're already listening to at the moment. Follow us on our socials as well, the official WTF1, to make sure you keep up with all the latest Formula One news and gossip. Make sure you check out myself and James on our social medias as well. Because James, I think you're going to be opening those cards on your socials too. Those ones that you've just shown
us.
Yes.
I'm going to do a longer YouTube video about it. And I'm going to try to bring in some F1 trading card creators to talk to me about these cards.
There you go then. So if you want to see what is in that beautiful box that you've got there, then make sure you go follow all of James's socials as well. We will see you next week as we start to get ready for what is the biggest race on the calendar, the Las Vegas Grand Prix. Could be a championship decided, and we will find out all about that.
I'm going, by the way.
You're going?
I'm so excited. Oh. I found out last minute I was invited by the Las Vegas Grand Prix to attend.
Huge.
And so I've never been to a Formula One race, so I'm very, very excited.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, we're going to be talking. We'll talk all about that next week. We're going to find out more about how excited you are for it, and I look forward to hearing everything on the one after it as well.
I'll show you my fits next week too.
Yes, I'm down for that. Right, thank you all for listening. We will see you next week. Have a good weekend. Till then, bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today. Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.